My goodness, hello.
Oh my giddy aunt.
I can't believe we are here again.
It's wonderful to be here.
For a round two of Teen Big Brother.
A double whammy. Yeah, we have an extra special episode lined up for you this week, where we will be chatting to the one and only ever winner of Team Big Brother, Paul Brennan. We had the pleasure of chatting to Paul just a little while ago, and what a lovely person. It was so interesting to get his insights on what was actually
something
going
very
on.
Unique.
A very unique experience that only this one group of people had, considering this is the only ever series.
One and done. I hope you all got your fix and your fill of Team BB-ness with our little recap last week. Wild times, a wild ride for all involved. And we're going to get the real dish now today because, oh my goodness, the secrets, the scandals, the hot goss. Y'all ready? Buckle up. Vroom, vroom. Beep, beep. Ring,
it's
ring.
It's like a behind-the-scenes tour.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No. So before we dive into our interview, we have to, of course, chat about the unfortunate passing of Nikki Graham at the weekend. BB icon, legend, star.
Absolute. Probably the most iconic housemate ever, I would argue.
I would say so. So funny. Probably the reason why we all have such fond memories of Big Brother, her season and her in general. I just have kind of watched so many clips of her over the last couple of days. And she was just so funny.
BB7 and Nikki in particular is just the absolute pinnacle, and it's just absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Nikki. I hope, her family are doing okay. It's just incredibly sad to hear. So.
Yeah.
And of course, if you are affected by it in any way, we recommend there's two links that we posted on our Instagram, one to Bodywise in Ireland and one to Beat in the UK. And the numbers are just on our Instagram if you do feel affected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's... let's get on to our interview, I guess, then. We chatted to Paul, and
we did indeed.
He's a fellow Irish man, so that's always a good sign for a bit of crack.
The absolute, I don't know, just the scoop. Listen, without further ado, let's just get into it. We should also mention that Rob forgot to press record for the couple of seconds before.
Drag her, slay her, drag me through that bush.
So if it starts a bit abruptly, that's why. Blame Rob.
I blame it.
It's fine,
on
you're not
Rob.
Missing anything. It's okay.
It's fine. It's just me talking shit.
She's just talking shit. Fuck off, Gillian McKee. Right, enjoy our interview with lovely Paul. And see you on the other side. Beep beep.
Beep beep.
Ring ring.
We've come on to the teen series now, which is why we've gathered you here today, just to hear a bit about your experience.
And one thing you did make me realise, it was 18 years ago, and I was 18 now. I felt so old, and that dawned upon me today. I was I was 18 when I went in, and it's been 18 years later. And I'm just that's real old.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I don't know, I just have such clear memories of the whole of Big Brother. And, it's just wild when you're that was that long ago. Because, those years, it was when, what was it, The Simple Life was on, all the, reality TV iconic stuff was on. And you're how was that so many years ago?
it kind of brings you, when you go, it was really back to basics reality TV, which I kind of love. Some of the reality TV now is a bit kind of structured or
very set. Overproduced.
Yes, that's the word. Thank you very much, Mark. you know, it's two kind of like false.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, were you like a reality TV super fan, or like, how did you end up on Team Big Brother? I guess is our first question.
I was a massive Brian Dowling fan, right? And I was obsessed with Big Brother, and I was living in Belfast at the time, and I remember he made an appearance in a gay bar, and I like, this is how crazed the family was. Like, I got him to permanently marker sign my jeans that I was wearing that night that happened to be like a light wash. I was like amazed at Brian Dowling and Narendra. Yeah, it is. Yes, Narendra. I met them. And then I was obviously I was working as a hairdresser in Tony and Guy. And we used to get these faxes. Yeah, not emails, faxes. things that were coming up in production for Channel 4. So they kind of like target hairdressers because they needed to talk about it. So this fax came through and it was like, Big Brother wants you, but only if you're 18. And I happened to be 18 at the time, and everybody in Russia said, oh, you should do it. And I was like, I'll go along for the audition, you know. And that was it. Like, we didn't know what was happening. You know, we went to the audition and we were just told, like, this is going to be a program with 18-year-olds. And that was it. No more, no less. And the audition process started from then.
So you didn't know it was Big Brother. It was just a show.
Just knew it was something to do with Big Brother. Big Brother wants you, but only if you're 18.
Okay.
So at the time, like, I remember, I think I can't remember what season, but a Dublin contestant, Ryan, I think his name is, he was actually, I think he was on it at the time. So we, like, a lot of people were like, oh, they're going to throw a load of 18-year-olds in, or, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were signing up for, like, you know.
Because that's the thing, yous were all eligible to actually be on the normal show.
The normal one, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, so, yeah.
It wasn't really, it was quite just weird, you know, and the audition process, I'm sure, is kind of the same as everyone, you know, you're stuck into a group and they look for leaders or people that are outspoken, you know, so you're given these tasks of make a costume out of brown paper bag and different things, and you know who takes leadership, the roles.
Yeah, God, it's wild. So the one criteria was that, like, you have to be 18. It was specifically 18-year-olds.
18, no more, no less, and that was it. You know, and then as soon as the process started, like, I keep getting callbacks.
Yeah.
At this point, like, I had said to a few of the staff and had said to my mom, and she was like, oh yeah, what, you know, there's no way you'll ever get on that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and because they had to fly you over to London, you had to see psychiatrists, and they have the final decision if you go in or not, if you're mentally stable, which yeah, very interesting. Wow. Yeah. Some contestants I would be a bit like, you know, how have they got past this level, you know?
Yeah.
In the past series, I've kind of been a bit questioned of that. And inside, like, there was another gay guy that was meant to go in, but didn't pass that stage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And did you have the big contract to sign? Because Anna Nolan from season one told us that she had, like, the biggest contract ever to sign.
I actually have it, and I should have brought with me. I still have all those things that you have to sign. It's about, like, that big.
Yeah, yeah.
Still have it. Yeah.
God. And then what did you think of the actual format of the show? So it was a little bit different than the rest of the seasons in that it was kind of filmed as a self-contained series where there was no public vote. It was kind of a shorter season as well. And it was broadcast a good bit later, it seemed like, than it was actually filmed. So how did that kind of play into things for you? Or did you think that was a bit kind of different than what you expected?
Part of me, when we had got to the point where it was like, you're in, you know, and then they had explained what was happening. And the way it was explained to us was that it was for Channel 4 Learning, you know, and it was going to be played in the morning time. It was a program about 18-year-olds learning. It's not going to be recorded live. There's going to be no public vote, and there's going to be no alcohol. There's going to be no cigarettes. And I was kind of disappointed. And then I was kind of going, but this is kind of my chance. You know, when people kind of say, I just want to do it for the experience that everybody says.
Yeah.
This is actually my chance of just doing it for the experience, but going under the radar and kind of going, like, if the public vote or the public hate me, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, I'm going to just go in and experience it and run amok. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
No, you're 18 years of age and they're like, yeah, go into the Big Brother house and have a laugh. So get disappointed at the start, but then I was kind of going, but there is benefits to this here, you know.
Yeah.
And at that point, we didn't even know there was a prize. You know, we just thought this would be like guinea pigs, you know, trying something out.
Mm. Yeah. And I suppose there is an element of like responsibility there on the future or on the producer's part, where it kind of aired at a time where the show, the main show, was starting to get quite like tabloidy and pantomimey. So you were starting to see, you know, people just coming out of the house to like a chorus of booze for no, what seemed like no apparent reason. So I suppose given like your age at the time, that has to have been a factor as well, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you, like, until the very end, like, we didn't know it was going to be aired prime time.
Yeah.
We were only pulled aside at the very, like, as we exited the house, we had to all agree that it would be aired at prime time because of what had happened in the show. You know, like, because you got to remember that, you know, I don't know how many times, like, I swore all the time. And I got, it was like, housemates were reminded not to swear, you know, and then it was like, Paul, can you please not swear? You know, that's how bad it got. And they were like, we can't use this during the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Swear so much, you know.
Gosh. So the end result was completely not what they had in mind. They wanted it. Okay, yeah. Wow.
Basically, it was kind of like, oh, we just want this for learning purposes.
Yeah.
I would say after like day three or four, you know, the producers kind of went, we're on a gold mine here, you know.
Let's go.
We've made them sign the wrong contract. You
know? Yeah. Wow, that's wild. So they actually set out for it to be completely different than what it ended up being.
Yeah.
Absolutely. God.
And did you get to meet like Davina and Dermot or anything? Because were they on set or?
They were not on set at all.
Yeah.
The same kind of routine that you took to hotel 2 days beforehand, locked in a room with a runner.
Mm.
They go out and get you everything. You're not allowed to leave the room. And then a limousine pulls up. And it's the same kind of entrance. You get out of the limousine, but there's no crowd there. And you're just kind of walked up. Then we kind of met everybody else, you know, Big Brother's voices, everybody at the rap party afterwards. And that was, you know, how we met people.
Okay.
God. You mentioned that, like, going in, you're kind of like exempt from like the tabloid side of things. That was a benefit for you, that you could be like exempt from that. Did you have any of that when you left or when it aired? Like, what was the reaction when it did air for you?
I did, like, even when I come out, I wasn't still not allowed to tell anybody, right?
Oh my God.
I had to, like, ring up my employers. And obviously, because I had got the prize, I had to say, like, I'm not coming back to work. And they were like, what's going on? I said, I can't tell you. Couldn't tell any friends. And obviously, I was on the trip when it was actually being aired.
Oh my God.
So, oh, that's handy.
Yeah. So, like, literally my friends were starting to see clips on Channel 4 of it, the advertising for it, and kind of going, ringing me going, why are you on Channel 4? Like, when did you go into Big Brother? You know, and like a lot of my friends just thought I was way traveling. And, you know, so, but then like when we came back from the traveling, we got, you know, PR team and, you know, kind of decided what you wanted to do, like what magazines you wanted to sell or do articles with. And like my ones were just kind of like Attitude, which was like the gay magazine that I grew up with, and I was like, that's all I really want to do. I don't want to, you know, because at this point, Jade had kind of got a bit of a, Jade from my season, had got a bad rap. And I just thought, and there was bad press about my family as well within the Sunday world while I was in Australia. So, and that kind of just, that's the press that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go through your family and it's just like, I went in, not my mom or dad, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was just such a, like, I don't know. I think there probably is still an element of the tabloids being quite exploitative in that way. But I think that time was like really the height of it. Like,
they were allowed to do anything, really, thousands, weren't they?
It was so relentless, like the way that they used to write about people. So, yeah, I can understand you kind of not wanting to go on the press train after that, for sure.
Yeah, and I think it just, it stings, you know, when it's just like, as you said earlier, you haven't done anything wrong. You know, when the press would be like, you know, if you look the wrong way at somebody, big headline, you know, so it wasn't, you know, it was affecting, you know, because I had still a sister living in Letterkenny and I had a younger brother that was still in secondary school.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun.
Yeah, especially at 18, like.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and at 18, like, can we not all agree? Like, we don't say the right things or do the right things, you know. And there's a lot of regret that you make a lot of mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
And
because that's what, that was my one major thought when I was watching it. I was like, I cannot imagine this like time capsule of me as an 18-year-old on telly. So how do you think, like, how do you feel about like that whole period of your life just being kind of like preserved,
immortalized? Yeah, it's all on YouTube.
You know, I can look back at it and look like, oh my god, and cringe, you know, and can look back at it and go, oh my god, I was so skinny back then. You know. And I actually wore no clothes whatsoever. And there is cringy moments. There is a lot of teachable moments. And it was just like, I sound like an old person, but it was just a different time back then. Like the language, you know, there was homophobic comments that were like brought up in conversation that weren't addressed at the time. And if I thought if it happened now, it would be completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did say that to each other when we were watching. We were like, some of these things being said are, they were intense for you, I'm sure, because you probably were like,
it's like put somebody on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
It was one of the questions that I was asked, you know, what happens if somebody comes up against your sexual orientation? And I'm just like, whatever, you know. I don't, like, where I, my friends, that's not an issue. You know, how can it be somebody else's issue? But it just shows you how young I was. You know, I was so naive to what was actually going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I agree. I don't know, like, the whole conversation has just moved on so much since then that, like, I like watching any of the Big Brother seasons, honestly, like there are just some conversations that just have not aged well. And I think you can say that about a lot of different types of media from that time and from before that time as well. So, but I just wanted to ask you as well, are you still kind of in touch with anyone from the season? I know you had your big round the world trip with Caroline.
Which was interesting. You know, Jade, yes, we're still friends on Facebook. Tracy as well. And Caroline and James, not so much. Hassan, no. And Shanine, no. So we see each other's kind of lives, you know. Tracy, like, I was in hospital last year, and Tracy was such a little sweetheart, even though we haven't met since then.
Yeah.
Like messaging me every day, like, how are you doing? You know, and she's such a little sweetheart, like, and it's just nice, you know, that sort of way. And
yeah,
I think Jade and Tracy, they nearly have kids, nearly, that are 18 now as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're like, they have teenagers, sorry. And
yeah,
it's just crazy to think of.
Yeah, God, they won't be going on Team BB themselves.
Do you think you'd go back on, Paul, if it came back? And or at the time, were you eligible to actually apply again for the main show? Or
that was never really a question, you know, that I asked. There was talk even about doing the salon on E4.
Oh yeah.
So, and this was talked about, and I, again, because of bad press, I was just like, this is going to keep coming up. And I'm bringing my family into the media, and I was just like, nah, I don't want that. You know, there was times, because I still remained a Big Brother fan, you know, and I'd watch certain seasons, and I was going, especially when it was on Channel 4, I was a bit, I wish I did, you know, the real Big Brother, or not Team Big Brother. And but then I was kind of going, I'd be destroyed because I am a nightmare, you know. Like, still to this day, I still don't even know how I won. Like, I really don't. It's beyond me, to be honest with you. Because I would have murdered myself.
Have you watched it back at all?
I have, you know, and I did. I used to live in Manchester, and a lot of my friends there remember it. And we had like a Team Big Brother night, and God, this was a good couple of years ago. And yeah, so I would say a good 8 years ago. But people keep sending me clips now and again, and I'm just like, And, you know, and it always seems, it's not like I be like, oh, do you remember me? I was in Big Brother. Or somebody around my age always goes, I feel like I know you from somewhere, you know, and I would still get that. Because I don't know if it's like they were my age and they just remember growing up with it. Just seem very familiar. And then they go through, did you go to this college? Did you go to this? And then know them. And it's usually when we're talking about traveling, and they kind of say, God, you were 18 and you were able to do all that traveling. And I'm like,
well, here we go. Let me tell you. The big reveal.
Yeah. But I don't think, no. Not if it was offered to me on a plate now, no. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same for everyone we've talked to. They've all been like, no.
Yeah. Like, never in a million years. Yeah. Like, I suppose, yeah, being in the belly of the beast, like, when it was at that time as well, when it was just so, like, big as well, like, the tabloids were just all over it. That would put you off, definitely.
I feel like it's lost its magic. You know, like, what more can you do to shock us, you know? And the celebrity one, genius, love it, love the celebrity one. But I just feel like, you know, it was like all about, you know, the chickens. Like, I remember having the chickens.
The chickens. Marjorie.
Darren. Oh my God.
Darren and Marjorie, yeah.
Yeah.
But we had to roll out our clothes to dry, and, you know, that going back old school. But then coming out of it, you know, the press and social media, and I think that's what kind of destroys it now. You know, you can't see anything without being completely shut on social media.
Yeah.
And we've kind of discussed this before on the podcast, but because it's like the likes of Love Island now, like, a lot of them would be going on, they'd already be kind of influencers kind of thing. So it's a lot more kind of curated or something nowadays, for sure.
I think, yeah, definitely. I feel like people are, it's kind of signing up to a career path now, you know. Yeah. You need to tick all the boxes and when applying, you know, you don't get kind of like off the real characters that are not your typical beauty on Love Island, you know what I mean? It was, sometimes I felt like Big Brother was real people, you know. Yeah. These people that are kind of going, I need to look this way, and I need to wear this, and I need to get some Instagram, you know, that sort of.
Yeah, because it was before social media even, so that was like not even a factor, you know. So
yeah, Yeah, the tabloids were your social media.
I remember getting like a Nokia phone from the production team when I went traveling, and it like had internet on it, and I was just like, this is amazing.
The original WAP.
So you mentioned traveling and the around the world tour. We need to hear more about your around the world trip to Caroline.
So it was amazing. You know, I wish I was.
Was it really 3 months long?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay.
It was even longer.
So,
like we were being followed by a camera crew. So it was meant to go out to be another program called something like Where Are They Now or something. So like every night or every second night we had to do like video diaries and it all kind of went off the rails. You know, you send two 18-year-olds around the world with a shitload of money. You know, it wasn't happening, you know. The first part of the traveling, like we went to South Africa and it was all lovely and sweet and, you know, going visiting schools and delivering copy books and, you know, for production, that's what it was for. Then we hit Thailand and, you know, me and Caroline's relationship started to deteriorate, you know, as you would travel with somebody for a while, you know.
Especially just two of you, like that's quite intense, you know.
And he's only known each other, 10 days? So imagine going on a 3-month trip with someone you don't really know.
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
I was like trying to embrace everything, you know, and like Channel 4 or Endemol as a production, like they had a producer or a runner or somebody like literally day to day draw what we could do, where we could go, how much it was, how to get there, you know, and every day you had three options of what you wanted to do. And the research that went into it was like amazing. And Caroline had kind of been to places before and wasn't as grateful as I was. And that kind of tore the relationship a wee bit, you know. Like there was a point that they had to send out a producer to us and chaperone us because it became very heated.
So
it was amazing. Like South Africa, Australia, Ho Chi Minh, Chiang Mai, Sydney, Ayers Rock, Cairns, LA, New York, Miami. And like I got to do work experience with a fashion designer in Soho in New York and worked alongside him and his team on photo shoots, on runways. And like, it was out of this world. Like it was everything the video clip was.
Yeah, I was about to say, was the video clip a proper summary of what was being sold into you?
For going into the house and thinking that you're going in there for 10 days and that's it, with no prize, no nothing. And then to be told, this is what you're doing, you know,
it's like jackpot, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And all my family keeps saying to me, was like, you're never going to do this again, you know, use the credit card. And, you know, I spent, you know, and even if you were giving a bunch of money every day, I still spent a lot of money, you know. But it was amazing.
Cool. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. Like I can only imagine after. Yeah, because you thought that this was like an educational like morning show and you're like, here's a huge trip around the world. You're like, okay, this is
let's go.
Yeah. And it was just surreal, you know, to be living in New York, like because we spent like a good month in New York and to be living out of a hotel and just doing what you want.
At 18,
you know, and, you know, just, it was just crazy, you know, and I was like, how have the producers signed off on this? Like,
yeah.
18-year-olds, what, blind leading the other blind, you know, it was just not happening, you know, and it could have went wrong in so many ways, but it was good.
Wouldn't you love to see the footage from that now?
Where is it? Is it in some safe somewhere?
No, because do you know what? There were so many nights that I came home drunk and had to do a video diary. And I am sure, like, whoever had to watch that footage was just like, we need to take him home, you know?
We can't use this again.
Like, his parents are going to sue us. Like, do you know?
Yeah.
And it was
oh my God. So what are you up to these days? How's life been since the big Team BB experience?
I feel like I should have produced something to plug it on your podcast, but no, I'm not that fancy. So I had left and went to Manchester, worked for a lovely department store called Selfridges, and was a personal shopper for several years. And then I moved back to Donegal out of all places. And I started working for a charity called the Rainbow Project, which supports LGBT community. And now a youth development officer. So I work with all young queer people, and it's so rewarding, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not old enough to remember Teen Big Brother, which is so
God, how lovely. Yeah. What a wholesome
full circle, you know. Everything that that I hated about Donegal, I love now. And
yeah.
The fact that I'm able to support young queer people, it's just amazing, you know. It's those jobs that you actually look forward to going into, you know. You just, and the young people are just so amazing and so caring. You know, I just feel like there's been such a shift in the queer community altogether.
Yeah.
You know, they just look out for each other, and it's so amazing to see them grow.
So do you do like workshops with the kids and stuff? Or yeah.
So, I first started off doing, I used to go around schools teaching gender identity.
Oh yeah.
Now we are a health and well-being center. So we are really about promoting health and well-being for young people, but empowering young people as well. And then kind of giving them just to figure out who they are, you know. It's not a pressurized place, you know. It's to have a safe space where they can be themselves and meet other people like themselves. And they're real, it's because it's like youth led, the young people make the decisions. You know, we've got a committee, a young people's committee, and they make the decisions on what they want to do, and we oversee it. And the Rainbow Project as a whole is just, it's amazing, you know. And I wish I had something like that when I grew up here. Definitely been a lot easier, you know.
And it's based in Derry, is it?
Based in Derry, and then our main office is in Belfast as well.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. It is so much fun. Like, if you had told me at 18 I'd be back living in Letterkenny, I would have been like, no. But I feel like I'm such a home bird. It's unbelievable. But I love that. You know, the simple things, going to the sea and going swimming. Yeah, I'm one of those people that go swimming in cold, freezing cold water. But
I could never.
Oh. Yeah.
I lived beside the sea in Dublin for how long? Like 2 years. And I went in like twice, I think.
That was definitely like, lockdown craze. Like, everyone got mad into sea swimming.
Tell me, Paul, do you have a dry robe?
Yes.
Because there's a whole dry robe kind of cult in Dublin. You probably know about it. Yeah.
I've seen articles about this where local people have stuck up signs about, please do not walk around with your dry robe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I turned into that person in lockdown, you know. And if you had said to me that I would be that a couple of years ago, I would have been like, nah. But, you know, I had a bit of a health scare like last February.
Okay, yeah.
You know, a coma for 2 weeks, and had to be transferred to St. James's in Dublin and have emergency heart surgery. So yeah, my family thought I was going to die. So I feel like I'm living on borrowed time at the moment. So I feel like I just want to do everything, you know, but I can't because of lockdown. So yeah. Swimming is the nearest thing.
It's pretty extreme, yeah. It's only as extreme as you can get.
my best mate was kind of like, please do not have a heart attack when you get into this water, because I don't know how to resuscitate you. But the job helps, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that's just about all the questions that we have for you. But is there anything else you would like to share with us, I suppose, before we let you go?
No. Like, no, but this has been so lovely. And Mia, you must do this as a career. Like, you know how to pick out the right questions, don't you? But thank you so much for having me. Like, it's been a real pleasure. And, you know.
Thanks, Emil, for taking the time to chat to us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate it. Yeah. It's great. And you're a winner as well, which is like amazing. You know, like, you couldn't get anyone better, really. So,
yeah. The one and only.
Yeah, literally.
That is my title, the one and only. Because I know that they had done a second one as well that got cancelled halfway through.
We didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. So there was other 18-year-old contestants in the house. Obviously, like, we were, like, the first plan, and they were like, oh, this is a gold mine here, you know. And then they had started another one. It must have been something to do with contestants, or it just wasn't working, and it just they just
axed it.
Oh my god, like, one and only.
The lost footage. I'd love to know what happened there. God.
Yeah. So I wouldn't you be really disappointed if you made it that far and then asked to leave? Like, do you know what I mean?
Just like, pack it up, guys.
And you could probably never tell anyone either, because it never aired. Like, yeah. Forever NDA.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll let you go then. Thanks so much for chatting to us. It's been great to hear it from the horse's mouth, I suppose, for want of a better term. But yeah, a wild old time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's amazing what you're doing. And I hope you have a lovely evening and stay safe.
And so that was our interview with the lovely Paul.
Lovely, lovely Paul. Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Yeah, oh, he was so lovely. It was so nice to hear from him, and like, really interesting, the whole like scoop about it, supposed to be like, the fact that it was supposed to be like a children's educational show. Yeah, and they ended up having to like keep it for prime time. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
My God.
I'd love to know whatever went on in that mystery second season.
Oh my God, the real tea. And of course, be sure to check out the Rainbow Project, which Paul gave a little shout out to. They are doing fantastic work up in Derry and Belfast, I believe. So fab. Mm-hmm.
So fab. Yeah. And so... yeah, I guess that concludes our two-part special on Teen Big Brother. It was a short and sweet season, a little bit different from our other seasons, and obviously great to have our first official winner interview.
A winterview,
if you will. I tell you, I was having winterview today when there was fucking hailstones raining on top of like the window. I was just like, okay, huge April vibes. But yeah, so that's our Team BB special. Up next we have our Celebrity Big Brother season 3 special slash series slash
as Supernova. Oh my goodness, it's Draki. Draki.
I have to say, I feel like we're getting into the golden age of CBB. Like, it's starting to get good now.
She's peaking, yeah, for sure.
She's peaking. Like, once Draki Stallone rolls in, it's curtains, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's over. It's over for all y'all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's next up for us before we dive into, oh my God, season 6.
Season 6? Oh my God.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod yet, but if any listeners have a link to Mary the White Witch, I have been trying trying and trying to find her because I really want to interview Mary the White Witch.
Did you try LinkedIn?
Yeah.
I know I always say this, but she might have one.
White Witch at magic.
Now, the thing is, my friend Aisling, shout out to Aisling, she used to live with a girl called Mary O'Leary, but I have confirmed it's not the same Mary O'Leary.
Damn it. If anybody has a link to Mary O'Leary, the White Witch, please yeah. let us know. I need that dish on the fight with Saskia.
Not Mary O'Leary, who used to live with my friend Aisling.
Not that one. Right. Have a great week, guys. And we'll see you back here, back again for Celeb Big Brother 3. Jesus.
Oh my God, yes. I can't wait. Is this the one with John McCrerick in it as well?
Oh, oink, oink, baby.
It is.
Oh my God.
I think so. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, Jesus, gross.
Oh my God. I actually have a story about Bez, which I will share in our next episode.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. I feel a bit bad, Maeve, for depriving you of Where Is the Love last week. I listened back to the app and I was like, oh, we really did her dirty. So I'm going to play it this week.
Okay, thank you. It's a bop.
It's a song. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Sure.
I used to be like singing that, like, people kill it, people, like thinking I was personally, you know, solving world peace.
If it ain't don't funk with my heart, I'm not interested, honey.
Listen, right, guys. Right, that's it then.
Listen.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Where is the Lord? It's right here. See you soon. Bye.
Boy,
bye.
Boy.
Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all. People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, and some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.